Hello, you guys. This is my first actual Fat Kitty podcast, and I'm kind of new to everything, so bear with me. I want to start off by reading one of my poems. Yes, I'm low-key a poet, but you know, I'm kind of afraid to put it out there for some odd reason. This particular piece is called Ups and Downs. It's a Fat Kitty original, which is my little pen name. And it goes like this. My life has been up and down, from laughter to a frown. Why have I made it so hard for only my father can say? Sometimes I want to sleep without knowing whether or not I would see another day. I have been saved from so many things, from death and dangerous sex flings. I understand later in life why I haven't become a wife. I understand why the heartache and the strife, reasons for trials and tribulations, because of my friends, family, and affiliations. The universe speaks to me, but I turned my ears, then screamed out to the universe when I had panic attacks and anxiety fears. Death was knocking at my door. My anger was out of control, and my body couldn't take no more. Losing people at the cost of my soul, mortgaging my spirit to fulfill the lust made turn me cold. I cared for everyone, but say the hell with myself. Not taking care of business, but I still wanted wealth. Sick and twisted mind is what I functioned with. I placed myself first, even though I knew I was filth. Lying wasn't really my thing. Manipulation was key to getting everything. My life is a top 10 bestseller. It's demonic like The Omen, but just as interesting as life had changed for Stella. Ups and downs, they say, is a part of life. Before you make a choice, make sure you think twice. Okay, well, this is my first podcast and whatnot. And I don't know if anybody will listen. It doesn't really matter because this is something that was placed upon me to do. And so I'm getting out of my comfort zone and I'm going to just do it. A little bit about myself. I am a African American woman. I am at this present time 41. I have a daughter who just recently graduated from school, well, high school, and right now I am finding my purpose finally in this world. My podcast will be more about inspiration, some motivation, putting a little music that I like from various artists that, you know, I like. Sharing, you know, a little bit about myself, hoping that maybe somehow the little bit of things that I have gone through in this life that I have had may be of a little motivation to others, because we never know what another individual is going through, and sometimes words that we speak, that we put out into the atmosphere, may penetrate the ears and the souls of those that are listening. So, with that being said, let me go into my first song of the podcast, and then I will go into, I guess they will call it my first segment. I'll be back. Okay, well, I don't really know how to add music onto my podcast as of yet, but I will learn as time goes on. But my second, I guess, point would be about motivation. For the last, I want to say, year and a half, I have been going through a lot of things. Things that would make a lot of people want to jump off of a bridge, which I had contemplated at one time, but, you know, I had better things to, you know, do with my life, and I wasn't done yet. So, that was no longer an option. Plus, I didn't want to do that to my daughter. And my good friend and I are basically going through some of the same similar things. And so we motivate each other to basically keep each other on the up and up. And although I am not a religious person, I have my own belief system. You know, I do know that there are certain people that are of the religious sect that I can listen to and not feel some type of way. And so far, Bishop T.D. Jakes and Pastor Michael, who is of the Transformation Church, they have had series lately that have been penetrating my innermost soul. And to be honest, I can say that it has changed me. It has calmed me down. It has made me less angry. It has shown me things about myself, people I've associated with, relationships, men, women, name it, take. I've learned it and I'm learning it as we speak. So far, I have, well, recently, probably about maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours ago, I was listening to Bishop Jakes talk about basically soaring and being, I guess, in the nest. And that is currently where I'm at. I have been in this nest for an extremely long time, and it's because of things from my past that I have not gotten over that I am getting over, which is why I am currently doing this podcast. I don't know if any of what I would say would, you know, be beneficial to anyone, but at this point, I am doing what I know I have been led to do. A lot of times, you know, we have desires and dreams and aspirations to want to do things, but the circle that we associate ourselves with will not help us get to the point where we can get out of this nest. The nest can be confusion, it can be insecurities, fear, you know, confidence, not being confident within yourself. And when you have that type of negativity around, it kind of stifles you because you don't think that you can do it. I have books that I have been writing for 10 years, but all it took was somebody to tell me in an insecure moment of myself that no one is going to read that, nobody cares. And so it penetrated me to the point where I got stuck. And I didn't finish it. That was 10 years ago. I made an oath to myself the 1st of January. And I normally don't do resolutions. And I don't necessarily call it a resolution. But I made an oath to myself that I was going to finish my book this year. Well, technically it is now July. And I have 5 months to get it together. And it will be done in 5 months. I promised myself that, amongst other things that I have, you know, goals towards in this, I guess, next half of the year. When you realize your potential, you tend to look at your circle and your circle starts to change. Some people will say, well, you're acting different. You're acting funny. You're not the same. Well, technically, yes, I am acting different because I realize that I am not growing in this circle. I realize that I am not flourishing in this soil. And you, being my friend or family member or whomever you are to me in this particular stage of life, you're not helping me get better. At the end of the day, no one can make you be you. But when a rose is growing, yes, it has thorns, but at the beginning, it is just a little flower. and it grows. And first you see the thorns, but then you know that in the end you're going to see a beautiful flower. And there's always someone there to pull out the weeds, to, you know, go through the soil, make sure that nothing is going on. And that would be your circle. If your circle cannot help you in your rose bush, then there is no reason for them to be there as a part of your life. Even though a rose is a beautiful flower, it still goes through the process as well as any other flower that blooms beautiful blooms. We have to be mindful of the people that are around us. Sometimes we get stuck and we hold on to individuals that should not be around us anymore, but because they're comfortable and we know them and, you know, they seem like they're just good people, and sometimes the good outweighs the bad. In the end, they're still not good for you. Cutting off associations is not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. In the process of this year and a half, I have lost many of friends. I have disassociated myself, not because I think that I'm better than, but mainly because I know that I am better than the situation that I am in. I am better than the negativity that I'm around. I am better than anything that anyone can ever tell me that goes against the beliefs that I have for myself. When you grow up not feeling that you can achieve your goals, you tend to not achieve your goals. I am not too old to realize that I am still young enough to do what it is that I need to do in order to better myself. I have a daughter who is looking at me and wondering, when is my mother going to get it together? I don't care that my daughter is 18, but I still have a point to prove. And not so much to her, but also to myself. And I want a better life for me and for her and the children that she may have. A lot of times we get stuck in a place of complacency, which is the nest of, well, I just don't think it's going to benefit, or I don't think that it's worth it, or, you know, you just find yourself in a situation where you're just content. And content is a trap, if you really look at it. When I listen to T.D. Jakes and Pastor Michael, I have learned that being damaged goods is only on the outside, but it also permeates on the inside. When you look at a can and it's bent or the paper's torn, you don't want it. But what happens if the paper is good and the can isn't bent, and you look inside and the contents is dried or it's moldy or it just doesn't look appealing, you throw it away. That is what a lot of us are dealing with. A lot of us look good on the outside, but we are so destroyed on the inside. We put up this front that everything is okay, but in actuality, it's not okay. We have to get to a point of being honest with ourselves, going into the dark places of our soul, taking time out, meditating, having a quiet time where we can listen to our inner spirit, listen to our inner soul, listen to the things that have been screaming at us, but we've been turning the volume down on it and turning the volume up on everything else because we don't want to deal with it because it's too hard. The only way to break free is to deal with the things that you don't want to deal with. I'm not saying that you got to go and see a shrink. Sometimes it's helpful. I'm not saying that you gotta pop pills, but sometimes that helps too. A lot of times we drown our sorrows in drinking alcohol. We go away on trips by taking you know, all type of drugs that take us to places where we don't have to deal with reality. But guess what? That trip is going to end, and that bottle eventually is going to get empty, and you're going to have to deal with that inner demon that's within you. A lot of us that walk around here in this world are hurt children that have grown up. We don't know how to love. We don't know how to appreciate people. We don't know how to value things that are valuable. And that is a problem. We have to fix ourselves instead of trying to fix other people. And that is what most people try to do in relationships. Toxic relationships within itself is just that. Two or maybe one toxic person trying to pour out their toxicity on someone else. What ends up happening is you have a whirlwind, a whirlpool, a cesspool of insecurities and bad mouthing each other and being condescending and being manipulative and lying and cheating, and eventually somebody gets hurt, if not emotionally, physically, verbally. And they may just even say, I don't want you here at all. I have been through it all. I know what it's like. And I never took time to really take time for myself. I've always, I put a Band-Aid on it and put a Band-Aid on it. And when you put Band-Aids on, some things need to air out to heal. Some things need a Band-Aid on for a little while and then it'll heal. But a lot of times our hearts need to be healed without a bandage. Well, what do you mean by that? Sometimes you have to just say, you know what? Time heals this wound in my heart. It may take 6 months. It may take a year. But we have to learn to let it heal, because if we don't, then someone else will come along that's hurt, that hasn't healed their heart, and they will open that wound back up, and before you know it, the heart is useless. And people are so cold nowadays that they don't even know themselves. Sad but true. These motivational speakers have really touched me and my friend, and it has changed our lives tremendously. I am still a work in progress, but I am not where I was a year ago. Hell, I'm not even where I was 6 months ago. I have made that much progress, but it's hard because you have to do it alone, by yourself, in a corner, just listening to all the things that are coming up and that you don't want to hear, you don't want to deal with, you feel like, well, I got it, and in actuality, you don't. Sometimes we have to separate from friends that we thought, you know, were good for us, that we have been friends with for 10, 15, 20 years. Sometimes we have to disassociate ourselves from family that you thought, well, you know, we're family, we're going to be together regardless. That's not necessarily the truth. Family sometimes by far is the worst, because they think, oh, well, I know you, or that's not going to work. And, you know, they try and dispel their insecurities onto you, and you know that you're not that person. But because this individual may be your mother or your father or your sisters, hell, even your children, you think, well, they kind of know a little bit better. So you deal with the insults and you deal with their insecurities, and then you push your feelings to the side. And then 10, 15, 20 years later, you're still wondering, why am I still in this same place? Yet the person that's telling me, hey, you shouldn't do that, is living their life and living their life very happily. Cut it out. Bad friends, exes, people that you associate with, all of that has to go. It's hard, because you feel like, well, I got history with this person, so it shouldn't be, you know. But if that person means you no good, and that person has not cultivated your soul, your soil, and that person doesn't take care of your flower bed as you're growing, then they are more of a, not say asset, it's the word I'm looking for, hindrance in your progression. I have had a couple people tell me over years, there's certain people you have to sit, you just gotta stop talking to. Oh no, I can't do that. You know, that's just my friend, or, you know, that's a family member and we're close. But what do they do for you? That doesn't always mean financially, emotionally. What do they do for you? Can you call them at any time of the night and say, hey, I need to talk? Spiritually, can they give you something to enrich your soul? Doesn't necessarily have to be what God said, but can they speak something that you know is not of them, but it enriches your soul to give you a brighter look on whatever it is that you may be going through? Is it physically where you can say, hey, you know, I just want to be able to see you, get a hug? People don't realize touch is a beautiful thing, but we're so afraid of touching people because it's just like, that transfer of energy is powerful. And if that person that you know that you're asking for a hug from has a negative energy, don't even touch them. But if you know that the person that's around you has that positive energy, you give them the biggest, tightest hug you can ever get, because all you're going to receive is that positive energy that you so desperately need. People don't understand how hard it is to open up to someone and be vulnerable. You're putting yourself on the table. You're exposing yourself. That alone is enough to scare you. But guess what? You're going to have to be exposed at some point in time. You're going to have to let a person know all of your insecurities if you're going to get them to honestly say, I know him or I know her. Hiding stuff, you're not being honest with yourself. You're not being truthful with yourself. And this is not something that you do with any and everybody. You will be guided as to who you can talk to. You will be guided as to who is your real friend and who is an acquaintance and who is someone you just associate with because you may have a few things in common. But overall, your spirit will guide you to where it is that you need to be in order to get your soil cultivated so that your rose may grow and it won't produce bad petals. It won't produce a flimsy flower, but it'll produce a strong root, and the stems will be strong, and everything about that rose will be strong, because it takes a lot to come through the soil. Started off as a little seed, but through time, experience, and everything, it blooms and it is beautiful. And at the end of it all, this is what we want to be in life, is something beautiful, something worthy, something that is worth talking about, being around, sitting down with, having a good conversation with. My motivation is, be careful. Be very careful who you open up to. Be very careful who you tell your secrets to. Be careful of who you're around and what you associate yourself with. Always know that you must be honest with yourself first, no matter what, because at the end of the day, you live with yourself. If you have insecurities, write them down, fix them, work on them constantly, daily. However, until you get past that, it may take a couple of weeks, It may take a couple of months. It may even take a year or two. But it's something that is constantly worked, because eventually you're going to have to share yourself with someone else. And you never know, you just may motivate them to do the same. And it takes one person to change the world. Little by little, it can happen. Well, let's see. My next point would be inspiration, which is somewhat along the lines of being motivated, but there are some people that inspire me to want to be great. My daughter inspires me to want to be great, even though my daughter is, 24 years younger than me. Doesn't matter. She inspires me to be great. I nickname her my mom because sometimes that's how she talks to me. Not so much in a disrespectful way, but more or less like, mom, get it together. Oprah Winfrey inspires me. Why? Because her life in itself is just like, wow, she made it. From being overweight, black, have her own show, lose her show, figure out, hey, what do I do? Star in a couple movies. Next thing you know, Oprah owns her own network. She has magazines. She's helping other people. She's doing her thing. She's motivating other people. And that to me is an inspiration to me, because it's just like, I don't have it all. And, there are things that I want to do. And I feel like, hey, why I can't do it? If she can do it, I can do it too. One of my favorite rappers is Ace Hood. Why? Because, number one, he's from Florida. I always love my own people. Two, when he raps, he tells the story of our lives. He puts it down. You feel him. You can understand where he's coming from because he's been through it. And he's still doing it. And he's not letting anything stop him. I don't have anything else to say about him. But he's very much underrated. The thing about being here in Miami is that it's very hard for Miami rappers or singers or whatever to get their airplay. And unless you really listen to underground music, a lot of times you won't hear a lot of things because, mainstream is just that. Mainstream is whatever the corporation is say, hey, well, I need you to play Nicki Minaj 50 times throughout the day. I need you to play Jay-Z and Beyonce 100 times throughout the day. But Ace Hood is not going to get that. He's not going to get that. But thanks to Pandora, I can listen to him all day. Thanks to YouTube, I can listen to him all day. Underground, they play various artists, but they play homegrown too. So he's my inspiration for the fact that what he raps isn't trash, which is a lot of what's out here on radio. He inspires people to be like, hey, you can do it. I've been through it. I'm going through it. This is what I've done. No matter what, I'm still going to keep doing it. And ultimately, he's starting to get back out there, and he's doing his thing, and he's going to win, and he's going to prosper. I love me some Ace Hood. My grandma, may she rest in peace, was my inspiration. My grandmother never played favorites. She had 6 kids. Well, really 7, but one passed away. 15 grandchildren, and I don't even know how many great grandkids. You would never know who was her favorite because she treated us all the same. I love me some children. I don't have many, I only got one, but I don't care who kid comes around me, I'm gonna treat them just like if they were my own. Because children need someone to nurture them. Yes, they have their mother and they have their father, but if a person is either in a relationship with someone that has children, or they have friends that have kids, children should never feel like I have to compete with another child to get what I need. Not necessarily what they want, but what they need. If I have 4 kids and only have 3 cookies, nobody's getting cookies. Or I'm going to figure out a way to make sure that all kids get the cookies. I don't want no child to feel slighted. I don't like bullies. I don't even tolerate that kind of stuff. My little cousins, although they may be 6, 7, and 8 years old, I treat them just like if they were my own. Because if I got it, they got it. If they want to talk, I'm going to talk to them. They want to read, I'm going to read with them. I'm going to take my time and I'm going to spend it with those children. Like I said, it doesn't matter whose kids they are, because they're going to remember that. Parents, we need to spend more time with our children. We need to be with our children more. I understand we got to work, but is that child going to remember, Daddy worked 100 hours a week. We got everything we wanted. Never saw him. Was never there. Never went to a game. Never took us anywhere. But he made sure that we had all the latest shoes. We had all the finest designer clothes. We went on trips. We did this. We did that. But he was never there when I needed to talk to him about what was going on in school. That someone was bullying me. That people were, making me feel bad and insecure. I could never go to my father and say, hey, Dad, because Dad was always working. Money is not everything. But that is what we've become. But we got to do it for the kids. These kids don't care about that. We make them care about that. We, as parents, have to change that within our children. My grandmother made sure that everybody ate the same thing. If she didn't have enough, we just didn't get it, which is where my philosophy comes from. I don't know, whenever my daughter blessed me with my grandbabies, I'm gonna treat them just like they're mine. I know that they have a mother and a father, but hey, grandma's place is gonna be the place to be. My inspirations come based off of things that I've been through, that I've seen in those individuals that I have mentioned. And I want to be somebody in this world. I want to leave a mark in this world. This world is crazy. This world is going through a metamorphosis. I know I shouldn't say this, but we got a fucked up president. And I'm learning a lot in the process, but at the end of it all, we have to be there for each other, but we have to be honestly there for each other. The only way we can do that is if we work within ourselves, and we have to take that time. Working isn't going to solve it. Drinking isn't going to solve it. Smoking weed and all that is not going to solve it. It's a temporary band-aid on a very deep-rooted issue. So with that being said, find your inspiration that is a good role model. You learn what they've been through and how they've gone through it. And if it caters to whatever it is that you're going through, then hey, let that be your inspiration to do bigger and better things within yourself, within your generation, and within your lifetime. Well, this is going to be the last part of my, well, I got one more, but I have a quote that a good friend of mine kind of gave me. It's kind of his initials, but doesn't really matter. Still a good quote anyway. And it's not quite trademarked, but it is his. So, in the process of everything, you know, you come up with inspirational quotes and, you know, things that kind of get you to go along with each day to kind of make it a brighter day, no matter how bad it may be. And he came up with the GREG, and it is grind and reach every goal. That is all the motivation that you need. You get up, you look at your goals that you want to achieve, and you hit the pavement. It's going to be a daily process. It's going to be a monthly process. It's going to be a weekly process. Still, get out there, grind, and eventually you will see your hard work paid off. And my last poem for the night, well, for the podcast, is happiness. Happiness cannot be achieved by tangible things, not a car, money, or even diamond rings. Happiness is attained by being content from within. Do not look for it in your family or friends. Life hands us things that are unfortunate and unseen. When these things happen, look toward the heavens for the sunshine to beam. When circumstances come your way, thank the universe that you have life to see another day. Some people look at the world and say, I can't handle this. We have to understand that to some degree, we are the cause of it. Overspending, spending money like you pimping, dudes riding on deuces, taking trips on $1,000 cruises, all of your money and assets gone because you've been abusing. Substances that are not meant for human consumption has led us to financial and emotional destruction. Happiness, what does it truly mean? It is definitely not with the person to whom you are not married to, you are in the sheets in between. It is definitely not scheming, lying to get ahead in life. In the end, trust that you will get caught and you will be in jail as someone's wife. Being happy is a beautiful thing. The damage that we cause makes it an emotion that we continuously concealing. When we allow happiness to flow like a river, when we have enough money to buy platinum instead of silver, never put happiness on tangible things, only sadness that will bring. Good night, guys.